out the blue guide in the bulletin. This is the prayer guide that we're continuing with. We'd ask that you all continue to be in prayer for our pastor nominating committee and for our new pastor, whomever they are and wherever they may be. Also, next Sunday, July the 7th, we will welcome our new interim, Reverend Steve Willis. Everyone be on your best behavior. We are very excited to have Steve coming to be here with us. Heard a lot of great things about him, a lot of folks that know him. I think it's going to be a wonderful experience for all of us. Do also want to point out that if you are interested in the t-shirt, who's got a t-shirt on real quick? Joan's got a t-shirt on. If you don't have one and you want one, please call the church office and give us the size and the color that you would like, and we can order some more t-shirts. As well, there's a sign-up sheet in the Dunglass and Roberts room. You know, we have a group from Sun Servants that's coming, and they're going to be staying here for a week. We need help with preparing breakfast and dinner on Monday through Friday. And there's a sign-up sheet. I need just a couple of folks to sign up for breakfast and dinner each of those days. If you're interested in doing that, go ahead, sign your name up on the sheet in the Dunglass and Roberts room. I have good news. Jesus is alive and with us. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. Thank you.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to worship. With the faithful as well as the foolish, with the voiceless and with those who talk too much, we gather to praise our God. With those who find it easy to follow and with those who stumble along the way, we rejoice in Jesus, who makes us whole. With all who are heirs to the promises of grace, with all who share hope with others, let us praise God by singing, "O Beautiful for Spacious Skies," hymn 464. Please join me in the corporate prayer of confession, after which we will have an opportunity to confess to God what lies hidden in our heart, the things that we don't even talk to our spouses about, the things that need to be forgiven, the freedom we need to receive from simply confessing what lies hidden in our heart, that sin that so easily besets us. We will have an opportunity to do that after we join in the corporate prayer of confession. Oh God, we know that we forget about you. We forget to love you. We forget to help our neighbors. We forget to thank you. Grant us clear minds to know you, new hearts to love you, strong hands to serve you. Help us live this day, this week, and always, so that our whole life is a thanksgiving to you. Best news I'll receive all week, there is an assurance of pardon. Will you join me in reciting it? Hear the good news, dear friends. Our God comes not to torment us, but to release us from all that keeps us from being God's beloved children. We are sisters and brother of Jesus who have been blessed, forgiven, and transformed. Children, please come forward.
Not today, huh? It's just going to be us. How are you today? Good. It's good to see you. Yeah, get rid of that towel. We don't need that, do we? Are you having a good summer? Yeah? Have you done anything fun? Yeah? What have you done fun? Video games, yes. Of course, we love video games, don't we? Did you go to Bible school? Did y'all have Bible school? I have not been here in a month. I have been doing some things myself. I went to where Jesus used to live in Israel. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? And I went to all the places that he went, and I went to where he did miracles, and where he had the Last Supper, and where he died too. But it was really neat because I was in lots of places that are mentioned in the Bible. They are actually real places. I'm going to show you some pictures when we go back for Sunday school, and so you can have like a visual of these things when you hear about Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, things like that. So I'm just going to read you a little something that we can think about where we don't have to be where Jesus was to think about God. We don't have to be there. We can be here. We can be home. We can be doing things and just simple little things that will remind us of his power and his glory and how we can think of him. In Psalm 8, 3 through 4, it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him." Jesus tells us He wants us to know that I am constantly speaking with you, but I don't always use words. Day after day, I paint amazing sunsets across the sky to show you my power and glory. I stroke your cheek with a gentle breeze to remind you that I am right beside you. I speak in the faces and voices of your loved ones. You can find me in every minute of the day if you have eyes that are looking and ears that are listening. Ask my spirit to help you see and hear me better. Practice looking and listening for me in the world around you, and gradually you will see and hear me more. Search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. So let's pray, and then we'll go back, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day to be together and worship you. Thank you for summertime and fun and video games. Thank you for the sunset, the moon, and the stars. Thank you for trips where we can go to learn about you more. And please be with us as we try to see you in everything that we do. And please be with us this week and bring us back safely next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join me for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. Starting in verse 5, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took in nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 and 33. And again, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Starting in verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter had answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
we just go home now.
It's easy for you to say.
That was really beautiful. Our third lesson today is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Dave and Mike were out duck hunting one morning, and Dave brought his new retriever, a beautiful yellow lab named Lola. After they got to the blind and got the decoys out on the pond, Mike realized that he had left a couple things back at the truck, so he went to fetch those items. Mike had been gone about 5 minutes, and Dave spotted some ducks approaching, so he took his first shots and hit one. And Lola jumped up, ran across the water, on top of the water, and brought the duck back. Well, Dave couldn't believe his eyes, and he thought he was seeing things. So another group of ducks came in, and Dave took a shot, hit another duck, and Lola jumped up, ran on top of the water, picked up the duck, and ran back. Well, now Dave knew he wasn't seeing things. So Mike got back, and Dave said, "You gotta see something. I'm really not exactly sure I can explain it." So Mike said, "Okay." And so they waited, and some more ducks approached. Dave took a shot, hit another duck, and Lola jumped up, ran across the top of the water, stopped, picked up the duck, and brought the duck back while running on top of the water. And Dave looked at Mike, and he said, "What do you make of that?" Mike kind of scratched his head, and he said, "I don't think that dog can swim." Sometimes we just don't get it. During the adult vacation Bible school class, we took a look at four scenes from the life and really the testimony of Peter and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in Peter. And in keeping with that theme this morning, we're going to take a look at one more scene with Peter, the scene where Peter walks on the water. But before we get there, we need to look at another scene, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, leading up to this scene in Luke, Peter and Jesus had interacted a few times. Just prior to the scene, Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. But now Jesus is about to change Peter's life. And so we see Peter is going from unknown and unsure to certain and repentant and ending with obedience. Now, fishermen in this day and age were not highly regarded people. They weren't wealthy. They weren't celebrated. They were certainly necessary because people wanted to eat fish, but they were hardly the most popular people in town. And up until this point, Peter would have lived his life in relative anonymity. And when Jesus came onto the shore and started teaching, he and Peter connected again. Now remember, they've already been spending a little bit of time together. When Jesus picks Simon Peter's boat to sit in while he teaches to the large crowd. Now after Jesus is done teaching, he does something pretty strange. He turns to Peter and he asks him to start fishing in deep waters where the boat was sitting. This probably annoyed Peter for a couple of reasons. One, fishing in the deep waters was not as successful as fishing in the shallow waters. It's not impossible, but it's certainly not as easy. And two, Peter tells Jesus that they'd already been fishing all night. They hadn't caught anything. And he was probably tired and now a little irritated that he had to throw his nets back into the water just to pull them back out empty after a little while. Peter was frustrated because he didn't know who Jesus was yet. He didn't know that Jesus was capable of great miracles. And Peter decides to go along with Jesus and follow his request. And this is where the story gets interesting. After a whole night of fishing without much success, They caught so many fish, they didn't even know what to do with themselves. It was such an abundance of fish that their nets began to break, and they had to quickly ask for help from the other boats. So why is that significant? Why would Jesus choose this miracle at this time? Because of what comes next. When Peter sees this miracle, he has a funny reaction. Instead of celebrating with his friends, instead of immediately considering how much money he would make, instead of asking questions about how it all happened, he fell at Jesus' knees. He was unable to stand anymore, and he cried out, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." This is where Peter moved from unknown and unsure to certain and repentant. Unknown as a fisherman, unsure of who Jesus was, to certain of Jesus' power and repentant, regretful of his sin. It wasn't just that Peter was in awe of this miracle. It wasn't just that Peter thought this was an amazing thing that happened. When Jesus gathered those fish, Peter's eyes were open to who Jesus really is, someone with authority and power, someone worth following around, someone worth getting to know deeply. Peter realized that Jesus is Lord. And Peter knew that because of his sin, he was unable to be near Jesus. And how does Jesus respond to Peter? By moving closer to him. Jesus tells him not to be afraid. Jesus didn't want to be far from Peter. Even in his sin, he wanted to move closer to Peter, to comfort him, to tell him it was going to be okay. It was all going to be okay. Jesus wasn't afraid of Peter's sin because of his great love for him. And right after Jesus comforts Peter, he gives him his next task, his next charge. He says, from now on, you will fish for people. Jesus is inviting Peter into a new way of life, inviting him to put down his nets and follow Jesus as he tells people about the goodness of God and the fullness of life that can be known through a relationship with him. And the amazing part is that Peter just says, yes. It says, Peter, James, and John pulled up their boats to shore, left everything, and followed him. And it's important that we understand this passage from Luke before we look at the next scene. Peter realized who Jesus is. He fell to his knees and he called Jesus Lord. He recognized God in him. And when Jesus called, Peter dropped everything and followed. Are we willing to do the same? Now, I grew up going out on the water, going out in boats, and there's something that I learned pretty quick. If I stepped out of a boat, I was going to make a splash. Actually, one of my first memories is being 3 years old, and my dad and my older brother, the three of us, going out in this little 15-foot catamaran sailboat. I remember my dad tied a rope around my life jacket, and yeah, and we weren't out in the Chesapeake Bay too long, and I remember we hit a wave. Off the back I went. And when I bobbed up, I can remember seeing my dad just pulling me in by that rope and plopping me down and laughing and saying, "Let's not do that again." You don't step out of a boat and walk on water. Peter knew that. Everybody knows that. But he stepped out. Why? Because Peter also knew that it wasn't just any man that was calling him out of the boat. It was Jesus, this Jesus that Peter knew was the Son of God, this Jesus that Peter knew could do anything. Peter wasn't putting Jesus to test by saying, "If it's you, tell me to come out onto the water." Peter instead was the only one that reacted in faith. His impulsive request led him to experience a rather amazing demonstration of God's power. He reacted in faith. He believed Jesus when he said, "It is I. Take courage and do not be afraid." So much so that he called out to his Lord, "If it is you, call me and I will go with you." And so what happened? We see verses 30 and 31. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him, and he said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" I don't think Peter was a man of little faith. I think it takes an amazing amount of faith to step out of the boat. Peter started to sink because he looked at the situation around him, at the wind, at the waves. He took his focus off of Jesus and focused on all the turmoil around him. And his faith wavered when he realized what he was doing, when he realized that he was walking on water. He became afraid of all the what-ifs. So many times we get caught up in what's going on all around us and we lose sight of what it is that God has called us to be or where God has called us to be and do. We may not literally walk on water, but we do walk through a lot of tough situations that take just as much faith. And the problem arises if we focus on the wind and the waves of the difficult circumstances around us without looking to Jesus, the one who called us for help. Well, then we too will sink into all the problems around us. Peter got scared. He feared where Jesus was calling him because what he was doing seemed impossible, or at least impossible for Peter on his own. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your cares, all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." This scene from Peter's life gives us all hope. Peter writes, "Cast all your anxiety, cast all your cares, cast all your fears on Jesus because he cares for you. You don't need to be afraid. And you certainly need not fear our enemy. The snares of our enemy are like a roaring lion." You ever watched Wild Kingdom? Lions don't roar when they're on the prowl. They silently stalk. But our enemy roars. He postures. He makes a lot of ruckus so that fear might creep in and shake us. But the truth is that enemy has no power over us except the power we give him. And when we cast all our cares onto Jesus, then we can stand firm on the rock. And when we slip, we have hope that we can be forgiven for our lapses of faith in Christ. Hope that even when our will is contrary to that of God, he will bring us back to him. So cast that fear to Jesus. Give those fears to him and let him watch and change that fear into boldness. That we stand firm on that rock of faith on Jesus. Where is Jesus calling you? Where is Jesus calling you? I'm not talking about dropping everything and traveling to a remote jungle and spending the next decade learning the indigenous language to tell others of God's love for them through Jesus, although some are called to do that. I'm talking about where is Jesus calling you right here, right now. We're just in a boat, and Jesus is right there. Not far, but it's going to take a lot of faith to step out of that boat and get there. Is it visiting a shut-in so that they can see God's love for them through you? Is it teaching a Sunday school class or a small group so people hear of God's love for them? Is it helping with Wednesday church supper so people feel God's love through a community of believers? Is it forgiving that person that you don't want to forgive even though God has forgiven you and Jesus has called you to forgive? Is it asking someone for forgiveness, but you're too proud to humble yourself and admit that you were wrong? Is it sharing your faith, sharing what Jesus has done in your life, and talking to your neighbor across the street about it, or your sibling, or your son, or your daughter, your friend, your spouse? Is it showing grace or love to someone that doesn't deserve it because you know, but you know that that same grace and love has been shown to you by God? Or maybe it's as simple as sending an encouraging letter and prayer to someone, but you're worried they'll think you're silly for trusting God. Jesus is calling you out of the boat. And fear not. Be bold. Jesus is right there as you walk on that water. He's right there to pick you up when fear tries to take hold. He's right there to hold your hand as the wind and the waves try to shake you. Fear nothing, because Jesus has called you out of that boat. Now go walk on water. To God be all honor and glory and power forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and join together in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, affirming what we live and what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's join together in our hymn of response. It's an insert. I will come to you.
Thank you.
may take your seats. As we go to God in prayer this morning, are there any added prayer concerns that we need to be notified of? Brother's surgery is July 16th. You said Nulty was back in the hospital? She's at Roman Eagle. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Okay. Anything else that we need to add? Yes. Okay. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with many concerns on our hearts and minds. But Lord, we also have many praises that we give thanks for. We give thanks for the gift of your Son and the love and grace and mercy that you have given to us. And Father, we give over to you our concerns and fears. We cast all our anxiety onto you. We give to you our hurts and our sorrows, and we know that you are the only one that can fill those concerns and make them whole. And Father, we pray specifically for Nulty and for Bob and for Carolyn, for Heather's brother, Brian, with his upcoming surgery. We pray for Claudine, for Amy, for Betty, for Fred, for Helen, for Laura, for Martha, for George, for Ella, Andrea, Deborah, Easton. We continue to pray for our pastor nominating committee, for our service personnel, first responders, for the turmoil for the people in Togo. We give you thanks in all things, and we ask that you would be God in all things and help us to get through all things. And we know you can. And Father, we know that you hold all things, and so we give thanks in all things. And we remember the prayer that your Son taught his disciples, and we pray it together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may receive the offering.
Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, everything is yours. Bless this portion that we give back. May we use it to bring glory to you so that the world may see you and know your love for it. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Let's join together in hymn of commitment and insert, give thanks. Jesus is calling you. Step out of the boat. Fear nothing. Be bold. Jesus is there with you. Amen.
Thank you.
shout.